In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we're walking together through this series called Praxis. And Jesus' invitation to follow him was so much more than just agreeing with what he taught. Because the way of Jesus is more than just a theory or an idea. It's a praxis, a practice. It's a way of life. And so as we engage in the daily practices of Jesus, we enter in with him into the presence of God, and then he sends us out to live on mission with him. And so let's fully engage together in this journey of transformation.
We continue in this series, Praxis, looking last week at the gospel being our hope, and today focusing in on prayer being our strength. What is it to live out, to be on mission, the presence of Jesus in our lives? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just find great delight in listening to children's prayers. And so today I've just selected the top five picks from recent searches that I have made on just some of those prayers that kids pray. The number five, "Dear God, my mom tells me that you have a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of those mysteries." Or the number four, "Dear God, please forgive me for hiding my sister's favorite doll, and please don't tell her where it is." The number three, "Dear God, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat salad, I will do better at school." The number two, "Dear God, I promise to never say those words again, at least until my next shots." And the number one, "Dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I really don't want to ask mom to move out." Now, I don't know where you are with your prayer life, but oftentimes kids' prayers, as crazy as they might be, as shallow as they might be, just simply reflect their genuine dependence and their trust in a God who so longs for us to pray for him or pray to him as well. It's these formulas that perhaps you were taught as a child or in your journey of faith that people would help you. And so there's these formulas that I was taught along the way. And some people say, well, you just look at the acronym ACTS and you come before God with adoration and you just for who he is and he is holy and he is awesome and you just come before him and you just lay it all out there and just adore him for being God. And then you just confess. You confess your own inadequacy. You confess your sin. You confess where you've fallen short. And you just acknowledge that because he's this father that just really wants to hear that no, you're not perfect, but I will make you perfect. And there's the T for Thanksgiving, that do I really have a heart of thankfulness? That I acknowledge where God has blessed me time and time again. And the S is for supply or supplication, that he will supply all of my needs, that I'm not necessarily asking for wants, but I'm saying, God, if you will supply my needs, I would really, really like that a lot. And there's others that taught me, no, don't pay attention to that one. Look at this formula. It's a lot easier. There's only 3 points to it. You don't have to memorize as much. And there's the R for rejoice. But again, it goes back to that adoration. It's still rejoicing in God and rejoicing in who he is and the power and his presence among us. It's repenting, again, of sin, of my own unrighteousness and my own failure. And then it's requesting. Requesting of who I can become as a son of God. Requesting that he will make a way for his kingdom to continue to move forward in the world that we live. But the bottom line is, I would go through those formulas oftentimes in my early years in my prayer life, and I just still felt like, man, I'm just hitting a wall. This is just empty. I don't know if you've been there. But the bottom line that I learned was formulas without a relationship will always remain empty. And what God wants with us is that we would have a relationship with him. And so today I'm inviting you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, it's a familiar text. You've probably memorized it out of Matthew chapter 6, a parallel passage of the Lord's Prayer. But Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, just puts it so brief and yet so well. We have countless prayers in Scripture. But today, we're going to focus on Jesus' prayer when he says, "Let me teach you how to pray." Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John had taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" You see, when we understand the gospel, when we reach back to last week that Tyler shared, the gospel being our hope, we understand that simply acknowledging and saying, "God, teach me to pray is a prayer in and of itself. It's showing our dependence on him. And so we unpack this prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples, that leaves behind for us, his followers, to really focus on and to apply, to know that the strength comes in prayer and in this communication. So we look at that first word, Father. We understand that it talks about an intimacy. It talks about a relationship. It talks about a dad. It's our God that says, "I want to be your father." No matter what your biological relationship has been with your father on this earth, we have a God that so desperately wants an intimate relationship with you, one that will hold you close, one that will come alongside. And so of all the names that God could have chosen that we acknowledge him, he chooses Father. And he just says, "Come to me. Hallowed be your name." Now, I don't know about you, but even as an adult, that word "hallowed" is just not one that I just don't use in my vocabulary. And it's one of those that kind of seems to be a mystery and a little bit aloof. And yet, when you think, wow, Father, intimate, relationship, Daddy, alongside of me, you are holy. You deserve my respect. I want to honor you because of who you are and in this relationship that we live out. I just come before you today and just say, "Dad, I've got some things to talk to you about." And all of a sudden, the formulas go away and the relationship begins. Your kingdom come. So what is he talking about? Not my kingdom, not my wants, but your kingdom come. As the parallel passage, "Your will be done." You see, we are the kingdom. We are the kingdom of God living here and now and fulfilling his mission. And so when I pray that prayer, I have to realize that it's not me telling God what I think he ought to do or how I think he ought to answer. It's me leaning into this relationship with a God that perhaps this Tim Keller quote will help make sense. And I want to read it a couple of times, but I came across it. And Tim Keller does a great job of talking about prayer and challenging me. "If we knew all that God knew, we would answer all of our prayers the same way that God answers our prayers." Now let me read that again. "If we knew all that God knew, we would answer all of our prayers the same way that God answers our prayers." You see, our tendency is that we want to be in charge, right? Our tendency is that we don't want to just trust him and realize that He is holy, and his kingdom has come. So we wouldn't have to wait. We wouldn't have to trust, so to speak, if we really knew the mind of God and we knew what his answer was going to already be, and we would respond in such a way that we would live out and we would fill his mission perhaps just a little bit further, because we feel strengthened in this conversation that I have, that I've listened to the advice of my father, and I just want to live it and I want to be it. What happens when my want becomes, I want to surrender to you, Father. I want to fulfill your mission. I want to practice your presence. Give us each day our daily bread. What kind of dependency would we have if we truly relied on God and said, nothing more, nothing less, just give me enough for each day? My mind goes back to those Israelites that had to be out wandering. And if you know the story, God was faithful and he would show up with manna every morning. He would give them enough supply for the day. And they saw God's provision time and time again. And yet what do we know is that in the camp, there was still grumbling. And there were still people not happy because God was doing it God's way and not their way. And I translate that to us today and I think, wow, God supplies our need. God still meets us where we are. And we still grumble, right? We still want it on our terms and in our way. And what he's asking us to do is just to find our strength in him and in him alone. So we celebrate the small things. We celebrate today in this moment. And in Proverbs chapter 30, there's this guy named Agur. And Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 9, you can go and look at that on your own later this week. But I want to read the first part of that text, and then we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. Because possibly this guy may be a little bit like you and a little bit like me at different seasons of our lives. The words of Agur, son of Yaakov, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Have you ever been there where you just say, I am weary, O God. I am so weary. I am just worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom. Nor have I learned the knowledge of the Holy One. And then he goes on and he asks this rhetorical set of questions. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found to be a liar. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield about us. He is our strength. And then I want us to look here at verses 7 through 9. Here's, at the end of the day, what he prays for and what he asks for and what we should ask for. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Too much, and I become self-reliant, and I don't need him. Too little, and I'm tempted to lie and steal and survive. just enough. It's what our God asks us to come to him each day and say, God, simply give us each day our daily bread. And we lean into that and we celebrate that. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Easy, right? Well, we take forgiveness. We're thankful for mercy and grace and forgiveness that God demonstrates to us through his son, Jesus. But oftentimes it's really difficult to forgive others. But let's not miss it. In the parallel passage in Matthew 6, it follows up this prayer by saying simply, if you don't forgive others for the sin they've committed to you, then surely the Father in heaven won't forgive you of your sin. You see, when we practice the presence of Jesus, when we live life on mission, then all of a sudden, this grace and this mercy that has been extended to me, I find delight in extending it to other people. And true forgiveness brings truth and healing and mercy and strength. He ends the passage, and lead us not into temptation. When I was younger, I had a mentor that shared this drawing on a piece of paper one day. We were talking about prayer, and he was talking about choices that you make in life, and he just drew this symbol, and he just said, in life, you're going to have some really great days where you're just traveling down this road. But the reality is that every one of us have choices every day to make. Some of them just really small and insignificant, and other choices that are pretty major and life-altering at times. And yet I looked at that and I just go, yeah, but it really doesn't matter because I can make this choice or this choice and it's still in God's plan, right? It just seems to be balanced and it seems to be even. And then he took that sheet of paper and he flipped it on its side. And he said, here's the challenge for us when we really live lives that say, lead me not into temptation. Because I'm headed down this road of life now, and it's really easy to jump on the slide, and it can be really fun to be on the slide, and all of a sudden I just go, how in the heck did I get down here? And now it's going to take all of this effort to get back to the position and to the place that I was before I even made this choice in the first place. And in my mind, I think, wow, that's Jesus' teaching, isn't it? That our prayer would be, lead us not into temptation. And then also to be reminded in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he promises us and says that no temptation will overtake us, that God is faithful and he will always provide a way of escape. And so in my choice and in my decision, I say, wow, I'm going to have to take the upper road. And I think of Jesus' words, and he says, narrow is the road that leads to life, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. It's more difficult. It's going to take more effort, but the reward brings strength and life and healing. So we know that our God knows each of our voices. He knows each of our hearts. He wants to desperately celebrate our prayers and this conversation that we have with him. And what happens as the church when we unify ourselves and we unify our voices in tune and in alignment with him? This week, because we do believe as a church that prayer is our strength, in the West venue, there is going to be prayer stations set up, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, we're inviting you to come whenever it works with your schedule and just come and pray. There'll be some formulas there that will help guide you and will help strengthen your relationship with God, but there will also just be some times where you'll just be still and you will know. And we are convinced that as a church, He will do powerful things when we rely on him and we say, Father, your will be done. Your kingdom come. And we want to be part of your kingdom on mission in this community and in this world. I also am reminded that a group our size, we can all pray right now, and we could have 1,000 different prayers going 1,000 different directions, and yet we have a God who has an ability to listen in to all of those at one time. But today, how powerful will it be when we as his church, we take all of our voices and we give back to him one prayer and we allow it to penetrate and convict us. And as a church, we would pray in one accord, in unity, as the gospel teaches us he wants us to live and breathe and move. So today, we're going to read Matthew chapter 6 version, probably the version that most of you would have memorized. Some of you may have walked in here today or you're viewing online, and this is the first time that you've seen this prayer when Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray. But as a church, will you join me as we pray this prayer to our Father? Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.